then knelt beside the table.
These carvings, this inlay, those were not part of the original.
I might have added a little. She wasn't certain if the forgery would take or not. In a few minutes, that seal might evaporate, and the table might revert to its previous state. Still, she was fairly certain she'd guessed the table's past well enough. Some of the histories she was reading mentioned what gifts had come from where. This table, she suspected, had come from far-off Svorden as a gift to Emperor Ashravan's predecessor. The strained relationship with Svorden had then led the Emperor to lock it away and ignore it.
"I don't recognize this piece,"
Gautna said, still looking at the table. "Why should you?"
"I have studied ancient arts extensively," he said. "This is from the Vivare dynasty?"
"No."
"An imitation of the work of Chamrav?"
"No."
"What then?"
"Nothing," Shay said with exasperation. "It's not imitating anything. It has become a better version of itself." That was a maxim of good forgery. Improve slightly on an original, and people would often accept the fake because it was superior. Gautana stood up, looking troubled. "He's thinking again that my talent is wasted," Shay thought with annoyance, moving aside a stack of accounts of the Emperor's life. Collected at her request, these came from palace servants. She didn't want only the official histories. She needed authenticity, not sterilized recitations. Gautana stepped back to his chair.
"I don't see how transforming this table could have taken hardly any work. Although it clearly must be much simpler than what you have been asked to do. Both seem incredible to me."
"Changing a human soul is far more difficult."
"I can accept that conceptually, but I do not know the specifics. Why is it so?"
She glanced at him. "He wants to know more of what I'm doing," she thought, "so that he can tell how I'm preparing to escape." He knew she would be trying, of course. They both would pretend that neither knew that fact. "All right," she said, standing and walking to the wall of her room. "Let's talk about forgery. Your cage for me had a wall of 44 types of stone, mostly as a trap to keep me distracted. I had to figure out the makeup and origin of each block if I wanted to try to escape. Why?"
"So you could create a forgery of the wall, obviously."
"But why all of them?" she asked. "Why not just change one block, or a few? Why not just make a hole big enough to slip into, creating a tunnel for myself?"
"I..."
He frowned.
"I have no idea."
Shay rested her hand against the outer wall of her room. It had been painted, though the paint was coming off in several sections. She could feel the separate stones. All things exist in three realms, Gautana: physical, cognitive, spiritual. The physical is what we feel, what is before us. The cognitive is how an object is viewed and how it views itself. The spiritual realm contains an object's soul, its essence, as well as the ways it's connected to the things and people around it.
"You must understand," Gautana said. "I don't subscribe to your pagan superstitions."
"Yes, you worship the sun instead," Shay said, failing to keep the amusement out of her voice. "Or rather 80 suns, believing that even though each looks the same, a different sun actually rises each day. Well, you wanted to know how forgery works, and why the Emperor's soul will be so difficult to reproduce. The realms are important to this."
"Very well."
"Here is the point. The longer an object exists as a whole, and the longer it is seen in that state, the stronger its sense of complete identity becomes. That table is made up of various pieces of wood fitted together. But do we think of it that way? No, we see the whole. To forge the table, I must understand it as a whole. The same goes for a wall. That wall has existed long enough to view itself as a single entity. I could, perhaps, have attacked each block separately. They might still be distinct enough. But doing so would be difficult, as the wall wants to act as a whole.
The wall, Gautana said flatly, wants to be treated as a whole.
Yes.
You imply that the wall has a soul.
All things do, she said. Each object sees itself as something. Connection and intent are vital. This is why, Master Arbiter, I can't simply write down a personality for your emperor, stamp him and be done. 7 reports I've read say his favorite color was green. Do you know why?
No, Gautana said. Do you?
I'm not sure yet, Shay said. I think it was because his brother, who died when Ashravan was 6, had always been fond of it. The Emperor latched onto it, as it reminds him of his dead sibling. There might be a touch of nationalism to it as well, as he was born in Ukurgi, where the provincial flag is predominantly green. Gautana seemed troubled.
You must know something that specific?
Knights, yes, and 1,000 things just as detailed. I can get some wrong. I will get some wrong. Most of them hopefully won't matter. They'll make his personality a little off, but each person changes day to day in any case. If I get too many wrong, though, the personality won't matter because the stamp won't take. At least it won't last long enough to do any good. I assume that if your emperor has to be restamped every 15 minutes, the charade will be impossible to maintain.
You assume correctly.
Shay sat down with a sigh, looking over her notes.
You said you could do this,
Gautana said. Yes.
You've done it before, with your own soul.
I know my own soul, she said. I know my own history. I know what I can change to get the effect I need. And even getting my own essence marks right was difficult. Now I not only have to do this for another person, but the transformation must be far more extensive, and I have 90 days left to do it. Gautana nodded slowly. Now, she said, you should tell me what you're doing to keep up the pretense that the Emperor is still awake and well.
We're doing all that needs to be done.
I'm far from confident that you are. I think you'll find me a fair bit better at deception than most.
I think that you will be surprised,
Gautana said.
We are, after all, politicians.
All right, fine. But you're sending food, aren't you?
Of course,
Gautana said.
3 meals are sent to the Emperor's quarters each day. They return to the palace kitchens eaten. Though he is, of course, secretly being fed broth. He drinks it when prompted, but stares ahead, as if both deaf and mute.
And the chamber pot?
He has no control over himself,
Gautana said, grimacing.
We keep him in cloth diapers.
Knights, man! And no one changes a fake chamber pot? Don't you think that's suspicious? Maids will gossip, as will guards at the door. You need to consider these things. Gautana had the decency to blush.
I will see that it happens, though I don't like the idea of someone else entering his quarters. Too many have a chance to discover what has happened to him.
Pick someone you trust, then, Shay said. In fact, make a rule at the Emperor's doors. No one enters unless they bear a card with your personal signet. And yes, I know why you're opening your mouth to object. I know exactly how well guarded the Emperor's quarters are. That was part of what I studied to break into the gallery. Your security isn't tight enough, as the assassins proved. Do what I suggest. The more layers of security, the better. If what has happened to the Emperor gets out, I have no doubt that I'll end up back in that cell waiting for execution. Gautana sighed, but nodded.
What else do you suggest?
Day 17. A cool breeze laden with unfamiliar spices crept through the cracks around Shay's warped window. The low hum of cheers seeped through as well. Outside, the city celebrated. Delbahad, a holiday no one had known about until 2 years earlier. The Heritage faction continued to dig up and revive ancient feasts in an effort to sway public opinion back toward them. It wouldn't help. The Empire was not a republic, and the only ones who would have a say in anointing a new emperor would be the arbiters of the various factions. Shay turned her attention away from the celebrations and continued to read from the Emperor's journal. I have decided, at long last, to agree to the demands of my faction, the book read. I will offer myself for the position of emperor, as Gautana has so often encouraged. Emperor Yezod grows weak with his disease, and a new choice will be made soon. Shay made a notation. Gautana had encouraged Ashravan to seek the throne, and yet, later in the journal, Ashravan spoke of Gautana with contempt. Why the change? She finished the notation, then turned to another entry years later. Emperor Ashravan's personal journal fascinated her. He had written it with his own hand, and had included instructions for it to be destroyed upon his death. The arbiters had delivered the journal to her reluctantly, and with vociferous justification. He hadn't died. His body still lived. Therefore, it was just fine for them not to burn his writings. They spoke with confidence, but she could see the uncertainty in their eyes. They were easy to read, all but Gautana, whose inner thoughts continued to elude her. They didn't understand the purpose of this journal. Why write, they wondered, if not for posterity? Why put your thoughts to paper if not for the purpose of having others read them? As easy, she thought, to ask a forger why she would get satisfaction from creating a fake and seeing it on display without a single person knowing it was her work and not that of the original artist they were revering. The journal told her far more about the emperor than the official histories had, and not just because of the contents. The pages of the book were worn and stained from constant turning. Ashravan had written this book to be read by himself. What memories had Ashravan sought so profoundly that he would read this book over and over and over again? Was he vain, enjoying the thrill of past conquests? Was he instead insecure? Did he spend hours searching these words because he wanted to justify his mistakes? Or was there another reason? The door to her chambers opened. They had stopped knocking. Why would they? They already denied her any semblance of privacy. She was still a captive, just a more important one than before. Arbiter Frava entered, graceful and long-faced, wearing robes of a soft violet. Her gray braid was spun with gold and violet this time. Captain Zhu guarded her. Inwardly, Shay sighed, adjusting her spectacles. She had been anticipating a night of study and planning, uninterrupted, now that Gautana had gone to join the festivities.
"I am told," Frava said, "that you are progressing at an unremarkable pace."
Shay set down the book. "Actually, this is quick. I'm nearly ready to begin crafting stamps. As I reminded Arbiter Gautana earlier today, I do still need a test subject who knew the Emperor. The connection between them will allow me to test stamps on him, and they will stick briefly, long enough for me to try out a few things."
"One will be provided," Frava replied, walking along the table with its glistening surface.
She ran a finger across it, then stopped at the red seal mark. The arbiter prodded at it.
"Such an eyesore. After going to such trouble to make the table more beautiful, why not put the seal on the bottom?"
"I'm proud of my work. Shay said. Any forger who sees this can inspect it and see what I've done. Frava sniffed.
You should not be proud of something like this, little thief. Besides, isn't the point of what you do to hide the fact that you've done it?
Sometimes, Shay said. When I imitate a signature or counterfeit a painting, the subterfuge is part of the act. But with forgery, true forgery, you cannot hide what you've done. The stamp will always be there, describing exactly what has happened. You might as well be proud of it. It was the odd conundrum of her life. To be a forger was not just about soul stamps. It was about the art of mimicry in its entirety. Writing, art, personal signets. An apprentice forger, mentored half in secret by her people, learned all mundane forgery before being taught to use soul stamps. The stamps were the highest order of their art, but they were the most difficult to hide. Yes, a seal could be placed in an out-of-the-way place on an object, then covered over. Shay had done that very thing on occasion. However, so long as the seal was somewhere to be found, a forgery could not be perfect.
Leave us, Frava said to Zhu and the guards.
But,
Zhu said, stepping forward.
I do not like to repeat myself, Captain, Frava said.
Zhu growled softly, but bowed in obedience. He gave Shay a glare that was practically a second occupation for him these days, and retreated with his men. They shut the door with a click. The blood sealer's stamp still hung there on the door, renewed this morning. The blood sealer came at the same time most days. Shay had kept specific notes. On days when he was a little late, his seal started to dim right before he arrived. He always got to her in time to renew it, but perhaps someday. Frava inspected Shay, eyes calculating. Shay met that gaze with a steady one of her own. Zhu assumes I'm going to do something horrible to you while we're alone.
Zhu is simple-minded, Frava said. Though he is very useful when someone needs to be killed. Hopefully you won't ever have to experience his efficiency firsthand.
You're not worried, Shay said. You are alone in a room with a monster.
I'm alone in a room with an opportunist, Frava said, strolling to the door and inspecting the seal burning there. You won't harm me. You're too curious about why I sent the guards away.
Actually, Shay thought, I know precisely why you sent them away, and why you came to me during a time when all of your associate arbiters were guaranteed to be busy at the festival. She waited for Frava to make the offer.
Has it occurred to you, Frava said, how useful to the Empire it would be to have an emperor who listened to a voice of wisdom when it spoke to him?
Surely Emperor Ashravan already did that.
On occasion, Frava said. On other occasions, he could be belligerently foolish. Wouldn't it be amazing if, upon his rebirth, he were found lacking in that tendency?
I thought you wanted him to act exactly like he used to, Shay said. As close to the real thing as possible?
True, true. But you are renowned as one of the greatest forgers ever to live. And I have it on good authority that you are specifically talented with stamping your own soul. Surely you can replicate dear Ashravan's soul with authenticity, yet also make him inclined to listen to reason, when that reason is spoken by specific individuals?
Knights of Fire, Shay thought. You're willing to just come out and say it, aren't you? You want me to build a back door into the Emperor's soul, and you don't even have the decency to feel ashamed about that. I might be able to do such a thing, Shay said, as if considering it for the first time. It would be difficult. I'd need a reward worth the effort.
A suitable reward would be appropriate, Frava said, turning to her. I realize you were probably planning to leave the Imperial seat following your release. But why? This city would be a place of great opportunity to you, with a sympathetic ruler on the throne.
Be more blunt, Arbiter, Shay said. I have a long night ahead of me, studying, while others celebrate. I don't have the mind for word games.
The city has a thriving clandestine smuggling trade, Frava said. Keeping track of it has been a hobby of mine. It would serve me to have someone proper running it. I will give it to you, should you do this task for me.
That was always their mistake, assuming they knew why Shay did what she did. Assuming she'd jump at a chance like this. Assuming that a smuggler and a forger were basically the same thing, because they both disobeyed someone else's laws. That sounds pleasant, Shay said, smiling her most genuine smile, the one that had an edge of overt deceptiveness to it. Frava smiled deeply in return.
I will leave you to consider, she said,
pulling open the door and clapping for the guards to re-enter. Shay sank down into her chair, horrified. Not because of the offer, she'd been expecting one like it for days now, but because she had only now understood the implications. The offer of the smuggling trade was, of course, false. Frava might have been able to deliver such a thing, but she wouldn't, even assuming that the woman hadn't already been planning to have Shay killed. This offer sealed that eventuality. There was more to it, though. Far more. So far as she knows, she just planted in my head the idea of building control into the Emperor, she thought. She won't trust my forgery. She'll be expecting me to put in back doors of my own, ones that give me and not her complete control over Ashravan. What did that mean? It meant that Frava had another forger standing by. One likely without the talent or the bravado to try forging someone else's soul, but one who could look over Shay's work and find any back doors she put in. This forger would be better trusted and could rewrite Shay's work to put Frava in control. They might even be able to finish Shay's work if she got it far enough along first. Shay had intended to use the full 100 days to plan her escape, but now she realized that her sudden extermination could come at any time. The closer she got to finishing the project, the more likely that grew. Day 30.
This is new,
Gautana said, inspecting the stained glass window. That had been a particularly pleasing bit of inspiration on Shay's part. Attempts to forge the window to a better version of itself had repeatedly failed. Each time, after 5 minutes or so, the window had reverted to its cracked, gap-sided self. Then Shay had found a bit of colored glass rammed into one side of the frame. The window, she realized, had once been a stained glass piece, like many in the palace. It had been broken, and whatever had shattered the window had also bent the frame, producing those gaps that let in the frigid breeze. Rather than repairing it as it had been meant to be, someone had put ordinary glass into the window and left it to crack. A stamp from Shay in the bottom right corner had restored the window, rewriting its history so that a caring master craftsman had discovered the fallen window and remade it. That seal had taken immediately. Even after all this time, the window had seen itself as something beautiful. Or maybe she was just getting romantic again. "You said you would bring me a test subject today," Shay said, blowing the dust off the end of a freshly carved soul stamp. She engraved a series of quick marks on the back, the side opposite the elaborately carved front. The setting mark finished every soul stamp, indicating no more carving was to come. Shay had always fancied it to look like the shape of Maypon, her homeland. Those marks finished, she held the stamp over a flame. This was a property of Soulstone. Fire hardened it, so it could not be chipped. She didn't need to take this step. The anchoring marks on the top were all it really needed. And she could carve a stamp out of anything, really, so long as the carving was precise. Soulstone was prized, however, because of this hardening process. Once the entire thing was blackened from the candle's flame, first one end, then the other, she held it up and blew on it strongly. Flakes of char blew free with her breath, revealing the beautiful red and gray marbled stone beneath.
Yes,
Gautana said.
A test subject. I brought one, as promised.
Gautana crossed the small room toward the door, where Zhu stood guard. Shay leaned back in her chair, which she'd forged into something far more comfortable a couple of days back, and waited. She had made a bet with herself. Would the subject be one of the Emperor's guards, or would it be some lowly palace functionary, perhaps the man who took notes for Ashravan? Which person would the Arbiters force to endure Shay's blasphemy in the name of a supposedly greater good? Gautana sat down in the chair by the door. Well? Shay asked. He raised his hands to the sides.
You may begin.
Shay dropped her feet to the ground, sitting up straight. You?
Yes.
You're one of the Arbiters, one of the most powerful people in the Empire.
Ah, he said. I had not noticed. I fit your specifications. I am male, was born in Ashravan's own birthplace, and I knew him very well.
But Shay trailed off. Gautana leaned forward, clasping his hands.
We debated this for weeks. Other options were offered, but it was determined that we could not in good conscience order one of our people to undergo this blasphemy. The only conclusion was to offer up one of ourselves.
Shay shook herself free of shock. Frava would have no trouble ordering someone else to do this, she thought. Nor would the others. You must have insisted upon this, Gautana. They considered him a rival. They were probably happy to let him fall into Shay's supposedly horrible, twisted acts. What she planned was perfectly harmless, but there was no way she'd convince a Grand of that. Still, she found herself wishing she could put Gautana at ease as she pulled her chair up beside him and opened the small box of stamps she had crafted over the past 3 weeks. These stamps will not take, she said, holding up one of them. That is a forger's term for a stamp that makes a change that is too unnatural to be stable. I doubt any of these will affect you for longer than a minute, and that's assuming I did them correctly. Gautana hesitated, then nodded. The human soul is different from that of an object, Shay continued. A person is constantly growing, changing, shifting. That makes a soul stamp used on a person wear out in a way that doesn't happen with objects. Even in the best of cases, a soul stamp used on a person lasts only a day. My essence marks are an example. After about 26 hours, they fade away.
So, the Emperor?
If I do my job well, Shay said, he will need to be stamped each morning, much as the blood sealer stamps my door. I'll fashion into the seal, however, a capacity for him to remember, grow, and learn. He won't revert back to the same state each morning, and will be able to build upon the foundation I give him. However much as a human body wears down and needs sleep, a soul stamp on one of us must be reset. Fortunately, anyone can do the stamping. Ashravan himself should be able to, once the stamp itself is prepared correctly. She gave Gautana the stamp she held, letting him inspect it. Each of the particular stamps I will use today, she continued, will change something small about your past or your innate personality. As you are not Ashravan, the changes will not take. However, you two are similar enough in history that the seals should last for a short time, if I've done them well.
You mean this is a pattern for the Emperor's soul?
Gautana asked, looking over the stamp. No, just a forgery of a small part of it. I'm not even sure if the final product will work. So far as I know, no one has ever tried something exactly like this before. But there are accounts of people forging someone else's soul for nefarious purposes. I'm drawing on that knowledge to accomplish this. From what I know, if these seals last for at least a minute on you, they should last far longer on the Emperor, as they are attuned to his specific past.
A small piece of his soul, Gautana said, handing back the seal. So these tests, you will not use these seals in the final product?
No, but I'll take the patterns that work and incorporate them into a greater fabrication. Think of these seals as single characters in a large scroll. Once I'm done, I'll be able to put them together and tell a story. The story of a man's history and personality. Unfortunately, even if the forgery takes, there will be small differences. I suggest that you begin spreading rumors that the Emperor was wounded. Not terribly, mind you, but imply a good knock to the head. That will explain discrepancies.
There are already rumors of his death,
Gautana said.
Spread by the Glory faction.
Well, indicate he was wounded instead.
But
Shay raised the stamp. Even if I accomplish the impossible, which, mind you, I've done only on rare occasions, the forgery will not have all of the Emperor's memories. It can only contain things I have been able to read about or guess. Astrovan will have had many private conversations that the forgery will not be able to recall. I can imbue him with a keen ability to fake. I have a particular understanding of that sort of thing. But fakery can only take a person so far. Eventually, someone will realize that he has large holes in his memory. Spread the rumors, Gautana. You're going to need them. He nodded, then pulled back his sleeve to expose his arm for her to stamp. She raised the stamp, and Gautana sighed, then squeezed his eyes shut and nodded again. She pressed it against his skin. As always, when the stamp touched the skin, it felt as if she were pressing it against something rigid, as if his arm had become stone. The stamp sank in, slightly. That made for a disconcerting sensation when working on a person. She rotated the stamp, then pulled it back, leaving a red seal on Gautana's arm. She took out her pocket watch, observing the ticking hand. The seal gave off faint wisps of red smoke. That happened only when living things were stamped. The soul fought against the rewriting. The seal didn't puff away immediately, though. Shay released a held breath. That was a good sign. She wondered, if she were to try something like this on the Emperor, would his soul fight against the invasion? Or instead, would it accept the stamp, wishing to have righted what had gone wrong? Much as that window had wanted to be restored to its former beauty. She didn't know. Gautana opened his eyes.
Did it work?
It took for now, Shay said.
I don't feel any different.
That's the point. If the Emperor could feel the stamp's effects, he would realize that something was wrong. Now, answer me without thought. Speak by instinct only. What is your favorite color?
Green,
he said immediately. Why?
Because.
He trailed off, cocking his head.
Because it is.
And your brother?
I hardly remember him, Gautana said with a shrug. He died when I was very young.
It's good he did, Shay said. He would have made a terrible emperor if he had been chosen, and Gautana stood up.
Don't you dare speak ill of him. I will have you.
He stiffened, glancing at Zhu, who had reached for his sword in alarm.
I. Brother?
The seal faded away. A minute and 5 seconds, Shay said. That one looks good. Gautana raised a hand to his head.
I can remember having a brother, but I don't have one, and never have. I can remember idolizing him. I can remember pain when he died, such pain.
That will fade, Shay said. The impressions will wash away like the remnants of a bad dream. In an hour, you'll barely be able to recall what it was that upset you. She scribbled some notes. I think you reacted too strongly to me insulting your brother's memory. Ashravan worshipped his brother, but kept his feelings buried deep out of guilt that perhaps his brother would have made a better emperor than he.
What? Are you sure?
About this? Shay said. Yes. I'll have to revise that stamp a little bit, but I think it's mostly right. Gautana sat back down, regarding her with ancient eyes that seemed to be trying to pierce her, to dig deep inside.
You know a great deal about people.
It's one of the early steps of our training, Shay said, before we're even allowed to touch Soul Stone.
Such potential,
Gautana whispered. Shay forced down an immediate burst of annoyance. How dare he look at her like that? As if she were wasting her life. She loved forgery, the thrill, a life spent getting ahead by her wits. That was what she was, wasn't it? She thought of one specific essence mark, locked away with the others. It was one mark she had never used, yet was at the same time the most precious of the five. Let's try another, Shay said, ignoring those eyes of Gautana's. She couldn't afford to grow offended. Aunt Sol had always said that pride would be Shay's greatest danger in life.
Very well, Gautana said. But I am confused at one thing. From what little you've told me of this process, I cannot fathom why these seals even begin to work on me. Don't you need to know a thing's history exactly to make a seal work on it?
To make them stick, yes, Shay said. As I've said, it's about plausibility.
But this is completely implausible. I don't have a brother.
Ah, well, let me see if I can explain, she said, settling back. I'm rewriting your soul to match that of the Emperor, just as I rewrote the history of that window to include new stained glass. In both cases, it works because of familiarity. The window frame knows what a stained glass window should look like. It once had stained glass in it. Even though the new window is not the same as the one it once held, the seal works because the general concept of a stained glass window has been fulfilled. You spent a great deal of time around the Emperor. Your soul is familiar with his, much as the window frame is familiar with the stained glass. That is why I have to try out the seals on someone like you, and not on myself. When I stamp you, it's like I'm presenting to your soul a piece of something it should know. It only works if the piece is very small, but so long as it is, and so long as the soul considers the piece a familiar part of Ashravan, as I've indicated, the stamp will take for a brief time before being rejected. Gautana regarded her with bemusement. Sounds like superstitious nonsense to you, I assume, Shay said.
It's rather mystical,
Gautana said, spreading his hands before him.
A window frame, knowing the concept of a stained glass window. A soul understanding the concept of another soul.
These things exist beyond us, Shay said, preparing another seal. We think about windows. We know about windows. What is and isn't a window takes on meaning in the spiritual realm. Takes on life, after a fashion. Believe the explanation or do not. I guess it doesn't matter. The fact is that I can try these seals on you, and if they stick for at least a minute, it's a very good indication that I've hit on something. Ideally, I'd try this on the Emperor himself, but in his state, he wouldn't be able to answer my questions. I need to not only get these to take, but I need to make them work together, and that will require your explanations of what you are feeling, so I can nudge the design in the right directions. Now, your arm again, please.
Very well.
Gautana composed himself, as Shay pressed another seal against his arm. She locked it with a half turn, but as soon as she pulled the stamp away, the seal vanished in a puff of red. Blast! Shay said.
What happened?
Gautana said, reaching fingers to his arm. He smeared mundane ink. The seal had vanished so quickly, the ink hadn't even been incorporated into its workings.
What have you done to me this time?
Nothing, it appears, Shay said, inspecting the head of the stamp for flaws. She found none. I had that one wrong, very wrong.
What was it?
The reason Ashravan agreed to become emperor, Shay said. Knights of Fire. I was certain I had this one. She shook her head, setting the stamp aside. Ashravan, it appeared, had not stepped up to offer himself as emperor because of a deep-seated desire to prove himself to his family and to escape the distant but long shadow of his brother.
I can tell you why he did it, Forger,
Gautana said. She eyed him. This man encouraged Ashravan to step toward the imperial throne, she thought. Ashravan eventually hated him for it, I think. All right, she said. Why?
You wanted to change things,
Gautana said.
In the Empire.
He doesn't speak of this in his journal.
Ashravan was a humble man.
Shay raised an eyebrow. That didn't match the reports she'd been given.
Oh, he had a temper,
Gautana said.
And if you got him arguing, he would sink his teeth in and hold fast to his point. But the man he was deep down, that was a humble man. You will have to understand this about him.
I see, she said. You did it to him too, didn't you? Shay thought. That look of disappointment, that implication we should be better people than we are. Shay wasn't the only one who felt that Gautana regarded her as if he were a displeased grandfather. That made her want to dismiss the man as irrelevant. Except, he had offered himself to her tests. He thought what she did was horrible, so he insisted on taking the punishment himself instead of sending another. You're genuine, aren't you, old man? Shay thought as Gautana sat back, eyes distant, as he considered the emperor. She found herself displeased. In her business, there were many who laughed at honest men, calling them easy pickings. That was a fallacy. Being honest did not make one naive. A dishonest fool and an honest fool were equally easy to scam. You just went about it in different ways. However, a man who was honest and clever was always, always more difficult to scam than someone who was both dishonest and clever. Sincerity. It was so difficult, by definition, to fake.
What are you thinking behind those eyes of yours?
Gautana asked, leaning forward. I was thinking that you must have treated the Emperor as you did me, annoying him with constant nagging about what he should accomplish. Gautana snorted.
I probably did just that. It does not mean my points are or were incorrect. He could have become more than he did, just as you could become a marvelous artist.
I am one.
A real one.
I am one. Gautana shook his head.
Frava's painting. There is something we are missing about it, isn't there? She had the forgery inspected, and the assessors found a few tiny mistakes. I couldn't see them without help, but they were there. Upon reflection, they seem odd to me. The strokes are impeccable, masterful even. The style is a perfect match.
If you could manage that, why would you have made such errors as putting the moon too low? It's a subtle mistake, but it occurs to me that you would never have made such an error, not unintentionally at least.
Shay turned to get another seal.
The painting they think is the original, Gautina said, the one hanging in Frava's office right now. It's a fake too, isn't it?
Yes, Shay admitted with a sigh. I swapped the paintings a few days before trying for the scepter. I was investigating palace security. I sneaked into the gallery, entered Frava's offices, and made the change as a test.
So the one they assume is fake. It must be the original,
Gautina said, smiling.
You painted those mistakes over the original to make it seem like it was a replica.
Actually, no, Shay said. Though I have used that trick in the past, they're both fakes. One is simply the obvious fake, planted to be discovered in case something went wrong.
So the original is still hidden somewhere,
Gautina said, sounding curious.
You sneaked into the palace to investigate security. Then you replaced the original painting with a copy. You left a second, slightly worse copy in your room as a false trail. If you were found out while sneaking in, or if you were for some reason sold out by an ally, we would search your room and find the poor copy, and assume that you hadn't yet accomplished your swap. The officers would take the good copy and believe it to be authentic. That way, no one would keep looking for the original.
More or less.
That's very clever, Gautina said. Why, if you were captured sneaking into the palace trying to steal the scepter, you could confess that you were trying to steal only the painting. A search of your room would turn up the fake, and you'd be charged with attempted theft from an individual, in this case Frava, which is a much lesser crime than trying to steal an imperial relic. You would get 10 years of labor instead of a death sentence.
Unfortunately, Shay said, I was betrayed at the wrong moment. The fool arranged for me to be caught after I'd left the gallery with the scepter.
But what of the original painting? Where did you hide it?
He hesitated.
It's still in the palace, isn't it?
After a fashion. Gautina looked at her, still smiling. I burned it, Shay said. The smile vanished immediately.
You lie.
Not this time, old man, Shay said. The painting wasn't worth the risk to get it out of the gallery. I only pulled that swap to test security. I got the fake in easily. People aren't searched going in, only coming out. The scepter was my true goal. Stealing the painting was secondary. After I replaced it, I tossed the original into one of the main gallery hearths.
That's horrible, Gautina said. It was an original Shuzen, his greatest masterpiece. He's gone blind and can no longer paint. Do you realize the cost?
He spluttered.
I don't understand. Why? Why would you do something like that?
It doesn't matter. No one will ever know what I've done. They will keep looking at the fake and be satisfied, so there's no harm done.
That painting was a priceless work of art,
Gautina glared at her.
Your swap of it was about pride and nothing else. You didn't care about selling the original. You just wanted your copy hanging in the gallery instead. You destroyed something wonderful so that you could elevate yourself.
She shrugged. There was more to the story, but the fact was, she had burned the painting. She had her reasons.
We are done for the day,
Gautina said, red-faced. He waved a hand at her, dismissive as he stood up.
I had begun to think. Bah!
He stalked out the door. Day 42. Each person was a puzzle. That was how Tao, her first trainer in forgery, had explained it. A forger wasn't a simple scam artist or trickster. A forger was an artist who painted with human perception. Any grime-covered urchin on the street could scam someone. A forger sought loftier heights. Common scammers worked by pulling a cloth over someone's eyes, then fleeing before realization hit. A forger had to create something so perfect, so beautiful, so real, that their subjects never questioned. A person was like a dense forest thicket, overgrown with a twisting mess of vines, weeds, shrubs, saplings, and flowers. No person was one single emotion. No person had only one desire. They had many, and usually, those desires conflicted with one another, like two rose bushes fighting for the same patch of ground. Respect the people you lie to, Tao had taught her. Steal from them long enough, and you will begin to understand them. Shay crafted a book as she worked, a true history of Emperor Ashravan's life. It would become a truer history than those his scribes had written to glorify him, a truer history even than the one written by his own hand. Shay slowly pieced together the puzzle, crawling into the thicket that had been Ashravan's mind. He had been idealistic, as Gautana said. She saw it now in the cautious worry of his early writings, and in the way he had treated his servants. The Empire was not a terrible thing. Neither was it a wonderful thing. The Empire simply was. The people suffered its rule because they were comfortable with its little tyrannies. Corruption was inevitable. You lived with it. It was either that or accept the chaos of the unknown. Grands were treated with extreme favoritism. Entering government service, the most lucrative and prestigious of occupations, was often more about bribes and connections than it was about skill or aptitude. In addition, some of those who best served the empire, merchants and laborers, were systematically robbed by 100 hands in their pockets. Everyone knew these things. Ashravan had wanted to change them, at first. And then, well, there hadn't been a specific "and then." Poets would point to a single flaw in Ashravan's nature that had led him to failure. But a person was no more one flaw than they were one passion. If Shay based her forgery on any single attribute, she would create a mockery, not a man. But was that the best she could hope for? Perhaps she should try for authenticity in one specific setting, making an emperor who could act properly in court, but could not fool those closest to him. Perhaps that would work well enough, like the stage props from a playhouse. Those served their purpose while the play was going on, but failed serious inspection. That was an achievable goal. Perhaps she should go to the arbiters, explain what was possible, and give them a lesser emperor, a puppet they could use at official functions, then whisk away with explanations that he was growing sickly. She could do that. She found that she didn't want to. That wasn't the challenge. That was the street thief's version of a scam, intended for short-term gain. The forger's way was to create something enduring. Deep down, she was thrilled by the challenge. She found that she wanted to make Ashravan live. She wanted to try, at least. Shay lay back on her bed, which by now she had forged to something more comfortable, with posts and a deep comforter. She kept the curtains drawn. Her guards for the evening played a round of cards at her table. "Why do you care about making Ashravan live?" Shay thought to herself. "The arbiters will kill you before you can even see if this works. Escape should be your only goal." And yet, the Emperor himself. She had chosen to steal the Moon Scepter because it was the most famous piece in the Empire.
She had wanted one of her works to be on display in the Grand Imperial Gallery. This task she now worked on, however, this was something far greater. What forger had accomplished such a feat? A forgery sitting on the Rose Throne itself. No, she told herself, more forceful this time. Don't be lured. Pride, Shay. Don't let the pride drive you. She opened her book to the back pages, where she had hidden her escape plans in a cipher disguised to look like a dictionary of terms and people. That blood sealer had come in running the other day, as if frightened that he would be late to reset his seal. His clothing had smelled of strong drink. He was enjoying the palace's hospitality. If she could make him come early one morning, then ensure that he got extra drunk that night. The mountains of the Strikers bordered Zamar, where the swamps of the Bloodsealers were located. Their hatred of one another ran deep, perhaps deeper than their loyalty to the Empire. Several of the Strikers in particular seemed revolted when the Bloodsealers came. Shay had begun befriending those guards. Jokes in passing, mentions of a coincidental similarity in her background and theirs. The Strikers weren't supposed to talk to Shay, but weeks had passed without Shay doing anything more than poring through books and chatting with old arbiters. The guards were bored, and boredom made people easy to manipulate. Shay had access to plenty of soulstone, and she would use it. However, often more elementary methods were of greater use. People always expected a forger to use seals for everything. Grands told stories of dark witchcraft, of forgers placing seals on a person's feet while they slept, changing their personalities, invading them, raping their minds. The truth was that a soul stamp was often a forger's last resort. It was too easy to detect. Not that I wouldn't give my right hand for my essence marks right now, Shay thought. Almost she was tempted to try carving a new mark to use in getting away. They'd be expecting that, however, and she would have real trouble performing the hundreds of tests she'd need to do to make one work. Testing on her own arm would be reported by the guards, and testing on Gautina would never work. And using an essence mark she hadn't tested, well, that could go very, very poorly. No, her plans for escape would use soul stamps, but their heart would involve more traditional methods of subterfuge.
Day 58. Shay was ready when Frava next visited. The woman paused in the doorway, the guards shuffling out without objection as Captain Zhu took their place.
"You've been busy," Frava noted.
Shay looked up from her research. Frava wasn't referring to her progress, but to the room. Most recently, Shay had improved the floor. It hadn't been difficult. The rock used to build the palace, the quarry, the dates, the stonemasons, all were matters of historic record.
"You like it?" Shay asked. "The marble works well with the hearth, I think."
Frava turned, then blinked.
"A hearth? Where did you... Is this room bigger than it was?"
"The storage room next door wasn't being used," Shay mumbled, turning back to her book. "And the division between these two rooms was recent, constructed only a few years back. I rewrote the construction so that this room was made the larger of the two and so that a hearth was installed."
Frava seemed stunned.
"I wouldn't have thought..."
The woman looked back to Shay, and her face adopted its usual severe mask.
"I find it difficult to believe that you are taking your duty seriously, Forger. You are here to make an emperor, not remodel the palace."
"Carving soul stone relaxes me," Shay said, "as does having a workspace that doesn't remind me of a closet. You will have your emperor's soul in time, Frava."
The arbiter stalked through the room, inspecting the desk.
"Then you have begun the emperor's soul stone?"
"I've begun many of them," Shay said.
It will be a complex process. I've tested well over 100 stamps on Gautana.
Arbiter Gautana.
On the old man, each is only a tiny slice of